Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen, coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. We are live at a special start time, 8 p.m. East, 5 West, for our VIP special guest star tonight, Greg Archer. He's going to be returning to the show to talk about his memoir, Grace Revealed, and he's got new news of the past week to share with us, and I can't wait to hear all about that. What a crazy couple of days. So I'm really glad Mercury is on its way out the door for the retrograde, because Monday we had a show that we did with Michael Vaccaro, the star Child of the 70s, and they're starting a third season. We did a pre-tape interview, and my effort to be witty and quick and get it done early failed miserably with the folks at Blog Talk. And so I pressed the wrong buttons, I did all the wrong things, and I had to call in and beg for the mercy of the people at Blog Talk, who could not have been nicer. They were wonderful. They said, okay, we'll take care of it, press some buttons, and magically it took off. And then last night we had Ian Verdun, who is the star, writer, creator, producer of Life's a Dragon, new web series that's going to be coming out. Ian and I were chatting about a minute before the show started, and then as the show gets ready to go, boom, all of a sudden the show page in my studio that I log into vanishes, and I can't do anything. And of course, the show is now live. Crazy, crazy, crazy. So if you listen to last night's show, if you just want to hear me kind of banter for 5 minutes, waiting to figure out how to get the show to restart and get the studio back up and get Ian on the phone, you can listen to the first 5 minutes. But I kind of reset it at the five-minute mark so you can hear that show. Technology has just been a really weird thing in the last couple of weeks, and I'm so glad to see that Mercury retrograde is on its way out the door. I have somebody that is calling in who's not a regularly scheduled guest, and I hope she doesn't mind, but I'm going to bring her on the phone for just a real quick minute. And if you can't talk or it's not a good time, just tell me that right now. Is this a good time to visit with you for maybe a second or two?
Yes.
It is. So on the line right now, I'm putting her on the spot, so I just appreciate the fact, because I haven't had a chance to say hello to her this week. We have Rebecca Fisk, who, as everybody knows, is on the show on a monthly basis now. She'll be back on February 26th to take your call. She's an intuitive psychic, author of a book called The List, which is available on Amazon, and is an all-around fantastic human being. And it's just always a thrill to have Rebecca on the other line. So how are you, my dear? What's going on?
I'm doing great, thanks. And yes, thanks for putting me on the spot, but I appreciate it. I have to say, I know that anybody looking at me right now knows I'm turning bright red, but I appreciate it so, so very much. So things are great, just busy, busy, busy. You know, it's all really great stuff. It's exciting.
You have a lot of really cool things that are coming up this year, and I know that, you know, when you embark on new paths and are doing all kinds of fun stuff like this, you are just chomping at the bit to tell everybody in the free world exactly what's going on. But at the same time, you're like, I have to wait because I have to announce it at just the right time. So I feel your pain, because I know you have so much that's going on that you just can't wait to tell everybody about. But part of it, you can't do it quite yet. So I appreciate that. So how's the weather up in your neck of the woods?
It's good. It's cool, mid-60s. We've got some clouds, but no rain. So, and as you know, I was just down in Southern California. I just got home last night. So I know you guys are experiencing almost summer-like weather where you are, and we are experiencing...
crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely spring weather for us, because winter for us typically is, you know, like high 50s, low 60s is a daytime high, and then we're usually low 30s up to maybe mid 40s at night. So we're having heat, quote unquote, for us too, but it's still a little bit more normal than what you guys are experiencing. So
it was
all good.
You know, I was up in Long Beach in the studio today, and I get in the car to come home, and it was 91 degrees, which just is, you know, it's insane and ridiculous. It's a little cooler here at the beach. So for everybody who's elsewhere in the country, you have my deepest sympathies that you have 300 feet of snow that you're trying to dig through, and more is on its way. But we're real lucky. Well, I just wanted to call. I just wanted to bring you on and say hi. If you want to chit chat for a minute or two, we can. But otherwise, I'll stick you back on hold, and I'll just let you listen.
Well, you know, I'll just say just a couple of very quick things.
Cool.
Yes, I was speaking to my friend Lori, who's in Minnesota, and there, you know, ice snow, all that lovely stuff, and I think they're kind of ready for a little more sunshine. She said she was surprised and happy that the sun actually poked through for a little bit today. But yeah, we're so blessed out here. We are so, so lucky. Anyway, thank you, Garrett. You know, thanks for everything. And for those of you who are about to, you know, who are staying tuned for this show, Greg is amazing. And if you have not, I'm doing a plug for Greg now, if you don't mind. If you have not picked up a copy of Grace Revealed yet, oh my gosh, you need to go get it and you need to read it.
Powerful, isn't it?
It's and the way that he delivers information, he has that unique ability to narrate something and yet bring you fully in and connect with the emotional components. And it's such a rare thing to be able to connect with somebody at such a level and yet have them stay in the narrative. It's hard to describe it, so you just have to experience it.
I agree. And we might actually have our special guest star, so maybe we could do just a real quick, and then I'm going to make you just listen to the show, Rebecca. But real quickly, we've got the king of pop culture roulette, Mr. Greg Archer. You are live with Garrett, and Rebecca's our guest right now. She's just calling in to say hi.
That is amazing. Hello. Happy Wednesday to all. How
I have
you?
Two of my most favorite people on the phone at the same time, which is just, it's like an act of God.
Well, I feel the same way.
Oh, it's so nice to hear Rebecca's voice.
Oh, thanks. Hi, Greg.
Hello. What a troika this is going to be. Wow.
I'm telling
what
you.
What can we create this evening?
Well, and this might be a sneak preview for things that are going to be happening down the road and down the line. I know Rebecca has a couple of ideas, and I'm game. So with that, Rebecca, I'm going to bid you adieu for the evening because I caught you off guard. I just appreciate you playing along, and hope you have a good
pleasure.
Night, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, thanks
okay,
so much. All the best, everybody. All right, take care.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Bye-bye for
so,
now.
So, Greg, welcome back to the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. I'm doing great. It's great to be on the show and connect with you again this week. And
so what's your weather
about, like? What's the weather like? Wow, you're going to start way down there. Okay. the weather. What kind of weather are you talking about? Are you talking about like weather or like emotional weather, psychological weather, mental weather?
Let's start with emotional weather first.
Wow, you're going to go way over there. That's so gutsy. See, this is why you are a star, Garrett.
Yeah.
You just go for it. Emotionally, wow, a mixed, fabulous bag of emotions. You know, some very, very deep and intense after having a vigil last night for these folks that, you know, went through such an interesting experience, which is saying lightly, 75 years ago, these Polish folks. And then just lots of curiosity, just amazing stuff that lies ahead as I continue to connect with, you know, other people in the Polish community and their children and talk about their stories and learn more about what happened to their families. And it's real interesting what's going on right now. So that's what's going on emotionally.
Well, I saw some pictures that you posted yesterday, and I had to have my breath taken back just a tiny little bit. Just, you know, from 2,000 miles away, I mean, I got it, but I mean, I can't even imagine what it was like for you being with the people, and you've been posting pictures of the call it a museum, that's the wrong word, but the, what do you call it, the, you know, place where they have all of everything going on. Is it the Holocaust Museum?
It was the Copernicus Center here in Chicago.
Okay.
And they have a lot of just a variety of events that go on there, everything from, you know, concerts to talks to, you know, wedding things. And it's been in the community for many, many decades. Just an amazing place. And it wound up being the place, the ideal spot to hold this candlelight vigil to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the Polish deportations, which began 75 years ago on February 10th, in eastern Poland when Stalin came in and did his business. So I was, since I was deeply entrenched in the subject matter, writing the book about, you know, things that happened to my family, and I'm here in Chicago, I thought there should be something here in the Polish, or just the community, that, that commemorates that. I think there may have been some small masses or something, but I thought there should be like something, you know. So by chance, and I love the way life works out, I had met this woman very serendipitously back in fall who connected me with some other people, blah, 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 but for something else differently. And then we ended up talking. And so this thing came to pass. It was really, really wonderful. Like, you know, over 100 people were there. Two different choirs were there. One children's choir was there from the show, from General Anders School, which was, that was amazing. General Anders was a prominent general in the Polish army in exile when the Poles were granted an amnesty, you know, in the 1940s. So I know I'm jumping around with history here, but so they had a school named after him. These kids were just really just amazing. They did like a 15-minute presentation. I think I have like a little video clip on my Facebook page and maybe the book's Facebook page too. Kind of heart-wrenching, but yet adorably sweet and innocent. And then there was this other choir, Chopin's choir, which is sort of a rare breed, one of the last of its kind, I think, here in the Midwest and maybe in the country. It's just like this old, rich, old world choir, and they sang several songs as well. So I think we did these folks that went through this incredible experience so long ago justice, and it was a really remarkable night. So I think I'm bouncing around. I don't know if I answered your question, but it was a Copernicus.
No, that's great. Yeah. and so that you last week after the show, you also had an event last Thursday too. It was a book event. What happened there, and where was that at?
That was at the Oak Park Public Library's multi-million-dollar portal, which is brilliant. I love what's happening to some different libraries around the country. There's so much going on now. But it was there, and that too was an eye-opening event, and there were some special guests and some survivors of that particular experience that is brought up in the book, the deportations, and there were these guys, these kind of funky guys who do these World War II reenactments. You know, they're part of this World War II reenactment group. I think it's the 12th Lancelot, I can't quite get the name of it right now because it's not in front of me, but so three of those folks came in like full, you know, uniform of what those soldiers would have worn, you know, from 1939 to 1940-something, like Polish soldiers, and it was a trip. They brought swords, they brought, you know, guns, obviously not loaded. You know, caps, this, that. Very, very interesting. Yeah, some pictures are also on Facebook. It was very interesting to see, you know, how they looked, and also interesting to find out what they do, because they, when they reenact, when they do like a 3-day weekend of reenactments with like others, it's really like they're living like how people, like the soldiers lived back then. So there's probably hot
water and maid service and things like that.
Exactly. No, there's just like boiled water and, you know, tents from the 1940. I mean, like really those old tents. So it's not like today where you have like things that are like insulated and right. So they really go all out, you know. It's
wow.
Wild.
That's dedication.
And yeah. And it's just sort of preserve the culture and the memory and the history, and just to keep that in kind of the know so that it's not forgotten and doesn't like get swept under the rug of history. So they were there too. Yeah, that was a great event. And there were other survivors of these particular episodes there as well. And it's very interesting that now what I'm finding is that there is now a chance to, you know, discuss and bring this subject to light. And I think for many years, the Polish culture and the community may not have had an opportunity to really talk about this particular part of history, unlike, let's say, the Jewish community who survived such atrocities, because, you know, when they were able to talk about it, I think, you know, afterward quite a bit, and they rallied together. But Poland was a communist country, so there weren't, I think, many opportunities within the country to really kind of go, oh, wait, hey, look what Stalin did, and and how are we going to, you know, move through this, because it was just basically survival. And even here, you know, I mean, I think it took a while for people to start really bringing it into light. So, yeah, communism sort of, you know, fell back in the late 80s. So when, and here we are, like 2015. So it's many, many years. This evolution is now kind of, things are coming up. Different documentaries are being made on this subject of the deportation. Different stories are being told about it. And I think people are now being given a chance to talk about it and heal. Yeah, it's very, very fascinating. Like, one woman told me she didn't have a chance to heal from this, and she went through it with her mother.
Wow.
So, yeah, so it's very interesting to see what's coming. This one woman emailed me from Australia, and she found a picture of her father in the gulag on the website for the book, which I had used for, with permission from this other organization, the Kresge Siberia Foundation. And so she heard about the book somehow, and then found this picture of her father sitting on a log because they were cutting down trees,
oh
you know,
gosh.
with some other men. So, you know, tears are in her eyes. I'm looking at this email going, oh, gosh, what this is like. And this is amazing. So things are beginning to shift. You know, you think it's like, oh, you come out with a book and it's like, oh, okay, it's a book and it's like a little bit of publicity and you connect with the community. But something else I'm beginning to see that's happening, and that's really meaningful. It's really a surprise. I mean, it's very fascinating.
Well, and very fascinating. For anybody who's not heard Greg on the show before, number one, welcome to the show, and we hope you tune in every single night. We're live Monday through Friday, normally at 10 p.m. East, 7 West, but with a special start time tonight for Greg, 8 East, 5 West. Greg, can you do your 30-second elevator? I'm going to call it the pitch, but what's your kind of the overview of what Grace Revealed is about and why you decided to make this into such a powerful book?
The elevator pitch is this. It's the book is about my journey uncovering my Polish family's journey. And in the process, I uncover something that history nearly forgot, which is the mass deportation of Polish citizens in 1940. Early 40s by Joseph Stalin, and nearly 2 million Polish citizens were deported and sent to Siberian gulags, and then later, after they were granted an amnesty, were left to sort of wander and go off on their own and find, you know, basically find life in southern Russia or escape with the Polish army from Russia if they could. So, and it chronicles what happened to my, you know, family who went through that experience and wound up in Africa, of all places, Eastern Africa, in a Polish orphanage. So there were about, I think, 18,000 Polish refugees living in Eastern Africa in the 1940s,
wow.
All over, like Tanzania, Uganda, Kenya. My family was in one of the biggest camps in Arusha, which is in Tengeru, Tengeru, Arusha, and that was in Tanzania, which was then Tanganyika. So, yeah, so they were there for about a year. So I've always been fascinated by their story, so I knew at some point I'd be writing about it. And so that's what the book is about. But it's sort of, you know, if I were to give it, it's sort of like a Polish Eat, Pray, Love meets Roots in a way. I don't know, sort of, kind of, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Like if Eat, Pray, Love crawled into bed with the Polish Alex Haley, it would be something like this book. Yeah. That's
I love your analogy. You are also getting rave reviews pretty much everywhere the book is read. You have another article it looks like it's Katrina Shaver, that she just has another winning, glowing review of you. And you're getting them at least a couple a week for different folks that are just falling in love with your book. How does that feel as somebody who used to do all the reviewing himself?
It feels good. It feels great. It feels different. I'm used to doing that, you know, like writing about other people and saying, hey, this is good, or this is kind of interesting, or that's or it's not, or whatever. Spent many, many years doing that, particularly with people in Hollywood. So it's refreshingly different. It's interesting to me to see how and if the book, you know, makes an impact or it resonates, because, you know, as writers and creative people, you know, you're a fabulous musician and singer, and we creative people often end up, you know, we work and we put our energies into these creative works, and often it feels like we're in a bubble. Not what it feels like we're in a bubble. We are in a bubble kind of doing it, you know. So you never really know for sure if, like, what you're creating is going to stick on the wall. And not that maybe it's, you know, maybe that's not the intention. Maybe the point is just to create it and follow that kind of, you know, the muse that's guiding us to do that. But it is, it's refreshing to be able to find out that something you spent, you know, a great deal of time on is well received. That's big frosting on the cake. You know, it really is true what all the great writers and creative people say. I mean, it's that process of creating and getting things out that it's really what it's about. And the other stuff, like the attention, if you get it, if you don't, that's sort of the frosting. So it's, it's refreshing. And yet, I'm curious now, like, well, what's some other work? Like, what's next? And now I'm looking at, like, what's trying to come through, you know, in the next round of things. So kind of curious about that.
For everybody who's listening, or, you know, either live or in Technicolor, because either way, we get you. There is a link to purchase Grace Revealed right on the show page there. You just click it, and it will take you right to Amazon. You can buy it today, download it today. You can also visit Greg's website by clicking that. He is probably by far one of the most interesting people I know on this planet, and he's always got something new and exciting and hot off the press that is absolutely must read, must see, must hear, because Greg's done TV as well, and he's a brilliant TV host. But I strongly suggest everybody who's listening, go click that link for Amazon and support the cause. And, you know, a lot of times I'll say, you know, go support the cause, but you're going to really get this book and start to read it and realize not only what a dynamic author he is, but what a powerfully impactful story this is. And it will absolutely touch you in ways that you probably don't even think possible. It's going to eat at your core. Greg, you know,
wow.
I know we try to keep it.
You'd be my publicist. I love you.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, that's fine. We've got that deal worked out. So we got a couple more minutes with you. What else would you like either listeners to know about your book, upcoming projects, or just life in general that's happening in your world?
Well, I'll start with some upcoming projects. I'll be in California in March for some book-related things, so I'm excited about that.
Yep. And we're gonna split a leaf of lettuce and a glass of water.
Yeah, yes, I know. After being in the Midwest for several or many months, I have to say I'm so over carbohydrates. I'm over it. I mean, I get it. I get why it's vital here, but I mean, I missed Chicago pizza before I got back. But I don't know. It's there's just so much of it around now. So I'm really, really craving, like, quinoa. I mean, you can get it here, but so and lettuce leaves. I really am, like, you know, just like nice, you know, fresh juices and sprouts. It's like my insides are craving sprouts. So so March will be another kind of fun full month of California things, and April as well, and then, you know, onward we go. I'm really looking forward to connecting with you know, different communities and discussing this and discussing ancestry and the importance of looking at that and understanding that, and also touching upon the intergenerational trauma element of it, not to get too heavy with that, but just to sort of start talking about it and looking at how what happens before us tends to live on through us, and what do we do if we notice that? And then there's other things I've discovered along the way, whether workshops and things that would be fun to explore and share with people. So I have a feeling that's going to be the next part of my work and putting that out there. And yeah, and this well-known performance artist, I can't mention her name because it's sort of a secret right now until we get...
Those are the best.
we might... It looks like we might collaborate on something that touches upon this particular part of history and how to create an artistic event around it that would let's see, how do I phrase it, that would accelerate a type of energetic healing. Boy, I sound like Carolyn.
Wow.
So yeah, so I'm really intrigued about that element, like, you know, not just lighting some, you know, incense or a sage stick and going to a spot where like these occurrences happen, but something that goes beyond that, but that includes that a little bit, but just holding an intention or a space of healing for some of that, because I really think that now as time is going on and we're taking, I think, some interesting shifts and turns in the planet energetically, this part of history, obviously it still holds a very fascinating interest in people, but I think there's something that needs, you know, some type of healing to happen. So I'm very curious about that. I'm curious about exploring that more, and I want to step into it, and I'm very excited about that. Yeah, that just happened, and I'm very, very eager to explore that some more. So that'll be something that is going to be happening, at least in the, like, planning stages and talking stages in the next few weeks. So I'm really excited about that.
That will be fun.
Yeah, it'll be, I mean, there's the power of thought, intention, meditation.
Right.
Especially in California, people get it, you know, more, I think, than, I shouldn't just lump it into California. That's kind of rude, but it's out there, you know. I mean, you know, if we hold an intention and a space of healing within ourselves and within a group, especially in the big group, you know, say for like 10 minutes, 11 minutes, 11 minutes, 11 seconds, whatever, on something in particular. I mean, I think it has the ability to create some profound shifts. So I'm excited about that. That'll be very interesting to see what might unfold with that. Definitely.
Well, I can't wait to hear, see, and talk all about that when you are able to talk more about it. That'll be fun.
Yeah,
well, Greg,
yeah, it'd be great, huh?
I promise you every week to try to keep you at under half an hour, because Lifestyles and the Rich and Famous dictates you've got other things and people and events to go see, do, and be. So I'm going
to
thank you for being here.
I have one more thing to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait,
one more thing to
keep you as long
on.
As you can keep you. Yeah.
No. It has nothing to do with the book. I just happened to spot it, and it's music related, and I think you'd be interested in it. And I don't know if it's actually true. But, I mean, not that I want
to... Yes, Kanye did run
older.
Up on stage on Sunday.
But John Secada is 40 years old, and I don't know if people remember John Secada.
No, he has to be older than that.
That's what I thought, and I don't want to press the issue because sometimes I fib a little bit here and there, depending on, you know, the light and the, you know.
Well, you're 26 or 27, depending upon your biography, so.
So I was just very interested in that. I was just like, oh, is he really 40? I mean, good. I mean, it doesn't matter, but okay. I didn't quite believe it, but that's all right. I don't know why I'm mentioning that. I had to end on a playful note because Stalin sometimes he's a heavy bird, you know?
Yeah. Well,
right?
With that, how
heavy
about
bird.
We? Well, then I think we need to lighten it up with a little bit of Kelly's Lot. They were a recent guest on the Friday Night Dance Party, and we'll play two songs by them and be back. This is a song I love and people request all the time. It's called Why Don't We? And by the way, Greg, normally after our little segment, we go to the secret bat phone and we talk for a second or two, but it always disconnects me from the show. So I'm just going to say, I will talk to you next week, and everybody else will be right back after this. Thanks, Greg. Have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Change. And life too short. Stay out of the rain. never change. And life's too short, stay out of the rain, out of the
Woman's Love by Kelly's Lot. I love Kelly's Lot, and whenever we kind of, you know, start playing their music, everybody starts to come out of the woodworks for them. This is off of their album, Don't Take My Blues Away. It's available on Amazon and iTunes and wherever fine music is downloadable. However, if you go to Kelly's Lot, their website, and order it directly from Kelly, which is, if you have the option to do that from an artist, always do that, because then they get the 100% of the cut versus the fraction that they'll get from iTunes or Amazon or wherever else. go to Kelly Zlot's website. She will autograph the CDs and send them to you first class mail. She did that for me. So I highly encourage you to do that if you like some good bluesy rock and roll type of music. That's Kelly Zlot. Special thanks to Greg Archer, who is our king of pop culture roulette, for coming on to talk about Grace Revealed, the top 10 best-selling memoir that is out in the market today. If you haven't downloaded that, there's a link to go do that on Amazon today. You can do that. We have got a ton of entertainment news today, starting with the most important news that I think is coming out this television season. House of Cards Season 3 made a nip slip, if we're going to call it a wardrobe malfunction, and appeared on Netflix for about 18 seconds earlier today on Wednesday. The streaming service was letting new episodes quietly make their way available, and they were on the network actually for about 10 minutes, and then the service pulled them back, and they made a joke of this. The people at House of Cards says, "This is Washington. There's always a leak. All 13 episodes will launch February 27th. What do we know for sure? Frank Underwood is now officially in action as the President of the United States. Quote, this is from Kevin Spacey himself, you have to be a little more human when you're the president. Well, he says that as Frank Underwood to the camera in an initial scene visiting his father's grave. Netflix officially blamed the glitch in the system on for the error due to a technical glitch. Some of Frank Underwood fans got a sneak peek. He'll be back on February 27th. That comes from Katie Urban, a spokesperson for Netflix, told USA Today earlier today. Well, this weekend is coming up pretty quickly, and we will be having a holiday event on Saturday called Valentine's Day. For those of you who celebrate it, good for you, and for those of you who see right past the capitalist enterprise that this is to get people to spend money after Christmas, well, I'm going to give you a little ammunition here on why you can sit this one out with a smile. Two new pieces of chocolate news may have you reaching for candy hearts this week instead of Valentine's Day. So if you're allergic to milk or know someone who is, a recent study by the FDA found that 59% of dark chocolate products in the U.S. contain trace amounts of milk. Well, and you can't always tell that's the case simply by reading the food label. Benifer Bedford, that's the researcher's name, Benifer Bedford, says this can be a problem since given one small bite of a product containing milk can cause dangerous reaction in some individuals. They're with the Oak Ridge Institute for Science and Education fellow, and they said that in an FDA statement. Dark chocolate has long been heralded as a lactose-free way to enjoy delicious chocolate flavor without the milk. But the FDA tested more than 100 dark chocolate bars, revealing that many of them contained undeclared milk. While it's probably not on purpose, the contamination could happen when a dark chocolate product shares the same equipment with a milk or white chocolate product. Milk is a major food allergen, so if you're allergic to dairy, this is for you. And U.S. law requires food that contains it to name it on a label. While dark chocolate bars labeled dairy-free or allergen-free were least likely to contain milk, 2 out of 17 of those products were found to contain milk. 55 bars or 93 bars without any clear indication of the presence of milk also were found to contain milk. That's 59%. And 6 out of the 11 chocolate products labeled traces of milk contain milk at detectable levels high enough for potentially severe reactions in some individuals. That's not good. First of all, this is coming from Bedford again. First of all, milk allergic consumers should be aware that a high proportion of the dark chocolates we tested contained milk, even when the label failed to list milk as an ingredient. And because consumers can't be sure that a statement about milk is completely accurate, they may want to contact the manufacturer to find out how it controls for allergens such as milk during production. Here's my two cents on this. If you have to call the manufacturer to find out how they control the production, you probably shouldn't even be tempting fate if you have the slightest bit of allergy to any of those products. But that is my two cents worth, which you will not be spending on dark chocolate this Halloween. Could be Halloween. Some of the masks people wear, but will not be spent for Valentine's Day. In other chocolate-related news, some popular chocolate brands may be toxic. Consumer health watchdog As You Sow filed notices of legal action on Wednesday against Hershey's, See's Candies, and Mars, alleging violation of California's Safe Drinking Water and Toxic Enforcement Act for failure to warn consumers of the toxic chemical cadmium in the company's chocolate products. Chronic exposure to cadmium has been linked to kidney, liver, and bone damage in humans, and kids are especially susceptible. The organization previously initiated legal action against an additional 13 chocolate manufacturers, including Godiva, Ghirardelli, Lindt, Green & Black's, Kroger, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, Earth Circle, Organics, Moonstruck, Theo, and Vosges. I don't even know if that Vosges, V-O-S-G-E-S, Vosges, for failure to warn of lead and or cadmium in their chocolate products. Lead exposure has been significant public health issues for decades and is associated with neurological impairment, which helps lower your IQ and gives you learning disabilities and bad stuff like that. Consumers need to know that chocolate may contain heavy metals, says Elaine Van Vliet, MPH. She works for As You Sow. She's the Toxic Chemical Research Director. Since lead and cadmium accumulate in the body over time, even small amounts should be avoided. That is your chocolate update for the day. That is insane. But what's even more insane tonight is the fact that trending now, I'm going for national news, and trending now, there was a sign that today was National Singing Day, except it's National Signing Day. And so I'm thinking, oh, everybody's singing today. Good, because I was in the studio earlier working on a new song called So Long, Mr. Nice Guy. And I was singing my heart out and had a great time. And I come home and I find it's National Singing Day. No, it's National Signing Day. And the little blurb says, recruits need to be educated about their signing day options, and the Worldwide Sports Recruitment Network will give them that opportunity. Recruiting college athletes can be quite difficult, not just for recruiters. Athletes and recruiters alike often find themselves short on time thanks to all the games, practices, and traveling packed into their schedules. Their busy schedules as well as their constant traveling often create issues when trying to communicate with each other. So today is National Signing Day. However, if you do happen to go out and sing a song today, singing for like 10 minutes will cure many ills of the world. So I will encourage you to go sing a song. Somebody who purports himself as to be a singer and has made a boatload of money creating controversies, Mr. Kanye West. I posted a couple of things that were on Facebook yesterday, got a huge reaction. First one was a picture of Kanye West kissing Kanye West. Obviously, it's Photoshopped. It's a picture of him and kissing his wife, Kim, but Kim's not in the picture. And it says that Kanye wants to remove this photo from the internet. And so, of course, you know, everybody's sharing the picture around. I thought it was hysterical because, you know, I think everybody knows nobody loves Kanye more than a little Kanye loves Kanye. So I put that up yesterday on Facebook. And within probably an hour of that posting last night, I have, 50, 60 comments on it. And I don't know, I think there was 47 shares from that post. So it went wild and everybody was making the same general comments. So I got a huge kick out of that. But he broke his silence today on his Beck Grammys diss on, where was he? I think he was on, I want to say he was Good Morning America. So where is this from? Anyway, so this article actually comes from Yahoo News. This is from Good Morning America. Kanye West is not backing down about what he said at the Grammys Sunday night, calling his comments a little jolt of truth. He did follow up with his remarks about Album of the Year winner Beck, calling the man whom he said should give his Grammy to Beyonce one of the most respected musicians in the game. He also explained that his first instinct was to kind of mock himself and joke about what he'd done in the past. At the Grammys, do we really need to see him mocking himself from something he did in the past? Absolutely not. The article continues. So the voices in my head told me to go, and then I just walked up like halfway up the stage, you know, what I really wanted to do was just joke around about what had happened before, but I really didn't want to take away from Beck's moment or the time he's having to talk. He said that today while being interviewed for On Air with Ryan Seacrest. Okay, so KISS 111 here in L.A. So I just walked back down because, you know, it was kind of like a joke of the Grammys themselves. So what a pompous ass, in my considered opinion, for thinking anybody wants to see him go up on stage and poke fun of himself, allegedly, and do something like that. And I don't know. I'm not impressed at all. About Beck, who is 44 himself, West has said that he has all the respect in the world for the man. Quote, this comes from Kanye. Beck is one of the nicest guys and one of the most respected musicians in the game, so there's nothing that I will want to do as a fellow musician to disrespect him in any way. This is clearly written by a publicist, not Kanye. And the weird thing is, like, and I don't feel like I have the right to take away from people's moments, but the reality of it is, and case in point by who came up to me right afterwards, it's almost like a chiropractor. That part I would believe Kanye wrote. You know, you just get a little crook out like, wow, this crook has been there. It's just like a little jolt of truth, he added. In fact, West, who is 37 years old, said, everyone feels better after the fact, or everyone is way more famous after the fact, or everyone sells more albums after the fact. And then Kanye just goes on being an ass, you know what, to everyone. Quote, he said that. That's true. He also cleared up his comment that if Beck respected artistry, he should give his award to Beyonce. He says, I think it came off the wrong way, and that was miswording on my part, because obviously Beck is one of the most respected artists and respected artistry. But I felt, and this is my opinion, and he's his own man, and he's not wrong, but I felt that even though the Grammys sometimes give awards to people who you wouldn't think should win in the category, as a respect to artists, we mentioned the other artist's name in our speech. And that was the point I was making about it. There's like many of times I gave other people my award, literally made them come up on stage. Maroon 5, when they won Best New Artist, Adam Levine mentioned me because it was the College Dropout. It had 10 nominations, and that was and all that, he said. West doesn't think Beyonce would ever say something like this because she's a respectful individual. Are you still rolling your eyes in the back of your head? He goes on to say, but because she's so successful, a lot of times success disables your ability to communicate exactly what the F you want to say. I'm shaking my head. On his very strong comments about the Grammys in general after the show on E!, West said that he was given a platform to talk, and that's just what he's going to do. Here are his last words for the night, and then we're done talking about him. I sat there, and I've kind of let that smolder, and I was asked my opinion, and I was given a platform. And when given a platform, it's very hard, as we know, and I'm going to talk in third person like I'm a crazy person. But it's very hard for Kanye West to not be very true and vocal to what he feels. You know, it's like people take the Grammys for granted in a way because of the commercials, because a lot of the musicians are very rich and everything, but this is our Super Bowl, you know. And someone's got to be mad that Marshawn Lynch didn't get the ball, he said. He continued, and then we're done. It's not a black or white thing at all. It's not me always standing up for a black artist. I feel that racism is a distraction to humanity. We are one race. We are the human race, period. If you have thoughts or opinions about that, maybe another night of the week would be a great time for you to call in. We can have a little dialogue about that. I think that would be fun. I just think he fits so perfectly in with the Kardashians because you're never really sure what he does or is doing. And you're, in my opinion, always shaking your head going, what is he doing to be on TV? This makes absolutely no sense. Apparently, if you run up on stage and tell Taylor Swift you should give me the award or run up stage and pretend to yell it back, that's enough. There we go. So with that, folks, tomorrow night we have a brilliant photographer on the show, and you say, we're on radio. What's a photographer doing on your show? Well, it's Lisa S. Beck, and she's the author of this gorgeous book called 108 Rock Star Guitars. I've got a soft copy sitting here in my desk, and I've been looking through it, reading through it, and it's pictures these most beautiful guitars, and she has some stories in there about how she got the pictures and talked to the different artists. And I'm looking forward to having Lisa on the show tomorrow night. That'll be at the normal start time at 10 p.m. East 7 West. And Friday we've got 2 hours of the Twix mix coming right back at you. That's electronic dance music by DJ Justin Case. Can't wait to share that with you, and it will all be live on Friday for 2 hours of uninterrupted music. Real quick, next week we've got another full lineup of incredible guests. On Monday we've got Mark DePina, who is an Australian poet. He likes to be called Dip. He loves that. I guess it's his nickname for all of his life. So we're going to have Dip on the show on Monday. He'll be talking about life living in Australia and reading a selection of poems. I've actually told him, I said, don't go crazy, because we're going to want to sit and chit-chat a whole bunch. And if you line up 20 poems that you want to read, we may not get to, more than 4 or 5, and I don't want you to be disappointed. So I think not only are we going to have him on Monday, I think he may become a regular character on the show. So that will be fun. Tuesday the 17th next week, we have Stephen Michael Scherer. He is the author of Patricia Neal, An Unquiet Life. It's an autobiography of her time in Hollywood. I'm excited about that. Next Thursday, we have author Kurgan Edward Stout. He's going to be coming on to talk about whatever Kurgan wants to talk about. It's his hour. And then Friday, we have this is a really unique guest, and I'm so excited to talk to her. Her name is Aralee Brighton, and she is, what's the best? She's a voiceover artist. She's a singer. She is the voice and song on some video games, and that sounds crazy, but she has this million-plus following that takes her all over the world, and we'll have music from Aralee next Friday night on the Friday Night Dance Party. I'm really looking forward to talking to her because I've now started following her on Facebook and Twitter. Really interesting lady, and she's got a great story to share with us as well. So that will be really eye-opening for a lot of folks. And with that, my friends, don't drive distracted, and we will see you live tomorrow night.
Listening to Rated G Radio.